So Saraji said, Saraji had talked in the previous talks how to nurture the Vipassana sapling, Vipassana Samadhi sapling in five ways. So after planting the seed of Vipassana Samadhi, one needs to protect. One needs to protect and nurture the Vipassana sapling in five ways so that the Vipassana sapling will grow, proliferate, and will give fruit and so on. So Saraji explained from Anguttara Nikaya, Anuggahita Sutta. The first one is Sila Anuggahita. Yogis should protect and nurture this Vipassana sapling by observing precept, observing morality, so that these precepts will not be broken, withered, or tarnished. Saraji give an example of a mango plant gardener who needs to put up a fence in order to protect the sweet mango sapling. So this example is compared to Sila Anuggahita, nurturing the Vipassana sapling by observing Sila morality, keeping precepts. And the second one is Sutta Anuggahita. One needs to nurture this Vipassana sapling by listening to the instruction and guidance, how to practice so as to develop knowledge such as Nama Rupa Pricheda Jnana, knowledge into mind and matter. One should learn what objects to be noted and how to note. So this Vipassana sapling should be nurtured by listening attentively the instruction and guidance given. And the third one is Sakata Anuggahita. One should nurture this Vipassana sapling by having discussion with the meditation teacher, reporting yogi's experience to the meditation teacher during the interview at this appropriate time. So a sample is given when one has planted the sweet mango plant, one needs to take care so that pests will not destroy the sapling. So one should prevent the pests from destroying the plant, and if there are pests on the plant, one needs to remove these pests, so that the sapling can go, the sapling can grow freely. So the fourth one is Samatha Anuggahita. When the yogi has attained knowledge such as Uddiyabhaya Jnana, knowledge into fast arising and passing away of the objects, then the yogi's mind and the knowledge become amazingly developed. So at this stage, yogi experiences the kind of happiness that is unique and unrelinquishable. So yogi can become attached in his or her experience, knowingly or unknowingly. So one should prevent so that even the small even a small thread of attachment will not arise. So one should prevent this attachment by developing Balava Vipassana, strong Vipassana knowledge. So when one has developed Vipassana Jnana stage by stage, and finally when knowledge becomes matured, one can gain fruits such as path knowledge and fruition knowledge as fruits of his or her practice. So in previous talk, Yaroji explained on Sila Nogahita how to protect the Vipassana sapling by observing Sila morality, which is compared to building of a fence around the sweet mango tree. And Sutta Nogahita is compared to watering the plant at appropriate times in order to bring up this mango sapling. And Saraji explained how to note the presently arising objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness. So Saraji has been explaining how to note in detail. And there are so many things to be explained. And also, Yaroji explained on field of objects to be noted. Among the fields of object, yogi should be noting the object that is presently arising at the present moment. And what the yogi experiences during his or her practice should be reported to the meditation teacher. Yogi should discuss his or her experience with the meditation teacher, and it is called Sakata Nogahita. One should protect this Vipassana sapling by having discussion with the meditation teacher. So Sutta Nogahita means one should nurture this Vipassana sapling by listening, learning the guidance and instruction. There are two kinds of sutta: Agama Sutta, which is theory of method, how to practice. So this theory must be learned by the yogi. And also, one should put theory into practice so that one will gain benefit of practice. It is not enough just to listen or learn the theory how to practice, but one should put this theory into practice. Another kind of sutta is Adigama Sutta. It is the experience or knowledge that the yogi attained through his or her practice. So, yogi should not only learn the theory how to practice, but yogi should work according to the instruction and guidance. During sitting meditation, yogis are noting rising and falling of the abdomen as primary object as well as the secondary objects. During the walking meditation, yogis keep their awareness on the feet, noting, lifting, moving, and placing. And what the yogi come to know through his or her experience, by noting rising, falling, by noting lifting, moving, placing, these experiences should be reported to the meditation teacher. Yogi should discuss his or her experience with the meditation teacher. How he, she has been practicing, how he, she comes to know by noting the object. So it is discussion among the teacher and the yogi, and this is the way to protect the vipassana sapling, and it is called sakaja nukahita. Meditation teacher is not investigating, but it is in the form of discussion. So yogis should be reporting in a simple and clear manner what he, she comes to know by noting the primary object, rising and falling of the abdomen, and also on other objects. And also when doing walking meditation, when noting, lifting, moving, placing, what the yogi come to know by noting, lifting, moving, placing should be reported in a simple and clear way. There are three things to be reported. The first one is arising of the object. Second one, how the yogi noted. And the third one, what he, she comes to know. For example, rising arose. I note as rising. When I note as rising, I experience this and this, so on. When I note when there was falling, I note it as falling. When I note it falling, I experience this and this. Lifting arose, I note as lifting. When I note it lifting, I come to know this and this. So in this way, these three things are to be reported. Arising of the object, how the yogi notes, and the third one is what he, she comes to know by noting, rising, falling, lifting, moving, placing, and so on. So among these three things, arising of the object, it is not what yogi is doing. The object arises due to circumstances, due to relevant cause. So what the yogi has to do is to note the object. So when the yogi notes the object, then the yogi will come to know about the object. So Saraji gives an example. If you look at something, if you look properly, you will know what it is. So in the same way, when you note rising and falling of the abdomen, you will come to know the nature. So you must report what you come to know by noting rising, falling, and so on. And you must report in a short, precise, clear way. When noting the object, one should be noting with effort. One should aim the noting mind so that the noting mind will be direct or face to face with the object rising, falling. And also, yogi should put effort so that the noting mind will get to the rising, falling. So, aiming the noting mind is that the noting mind will be direct or face to face with the object. One should put effort, push the noting mind towards the object so that the noting mind will get to the object. So every yogi needs these two factors, aim and effort, whatever he, she is noting. So when noting rising and falling of the abdomen, when the yogi notes with aim and effort, then the noting mind will get to the object, the noting mind will stick onto the object. So yogis should be asserting these two factors, aim and effort, continuously, just like a stream of current, so that the noting mind will fall onto the object. So when the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, then the yogi will know about the object. So when coming for report in interview, yogi should describe his or her work. Describing his or her work means when rising and falling arise, whether the yogi is able to note with effort, whether the noting mind can follow the object closely or not, and whether the yogi can note with aim and effort, and also with lifting, moving, and placing. Yogi should report whether he she is able to report with aim, whether he she is able to note with aim and effort. So this is the work, how he she has been doing. It should be reported during interview. And yogi should also report the ability, whether he she can note the object meticulously, firmly, effectively. So this is the quality of practice. So yogi should also report about the ability, whether he she can note it meticulously, continuously, firmly, and yogi should report this quality of his or her practice, whether yogi can note continuously. Continuously means the succeeding mindfulness should be continuous with the preceding consciousness, preceding mindfulness. So this succeeding mindfulness and preceding mindfulness should be continuous with no gaps in between. So yogi should explain his or her quality of practice, whether he she can note the object with sustained mindfulness firmly established on the object, whether he she can note it in an effective way. If the yogi is able to do so, noting meticulously, continuously, firmly established on the object, then what he she comes to know should be reported. So when noting rising, falling, does she come to know form or shape of the abdomen? Does she come to know mode or manner of moving? Or does he come to know nature, such as stiffness, tension, warm, cold, heat, movement, and so on? So this is what should be reported. If the yogi is not able to note rising, falling, then the mind is not on the rising, falling. So the noting mind will be somewhere else, or there may be wandering. So the yogi should report what happened when he, she cannot note rising, falling. Was there wandering, or the noting mind went to other sensations in the body, such as pain or aches? So yogi should describe why the noting mind is not on the rising, falling. What is happening? Whether there is pain or aches, whether the noting mind goes there, and when the noting mind is noting pains and aches, what the yogi come to know by noting pain or ache. So in this way, yogi should report in a simple and clear manner. And this is Sakaccha Nogahita, protecting the Vipassana sapling by discussing with the meditation teacher about his or her experience. So when reporting about the sitting meditation, yogis should start with the primary object, rising and falling of the abdomen. And when reporting about the walking meditation, yogis should start with the primary object, lifting, moving, and placing. And yogis should report what he, she comes to know by noting rising, falling, by noting lifting, moving, placing. So yogis should understand that they should report clearly on the primary object first. So if the yogi is going to report on some other things without reporting about rising, falling, or lifting, moving, placing, if the yogis are going to report about other things, then if the yogi is going to report about other things apart from the primary object, then the meditation teacher is going to not accept his or her report. If one fails to note with aiming without this vitaka, initial application, or aiming the noting mind, there will be mitta sukha. So the one will enjoy in this, one will enjoy this sleepiness, one will enjoy staying at ease, taking easy in the practice, and thus the mind will not be alert or active. The mind will be contracted, constricted. In order to note the presently arising object, one needs to aim the noting mind continuously so that the noting mind will be active. So being able to aim the noting mind, the mind will be active, blossom, open, and alert. So aiming, putting this vitaka, is to keep the mind open, blossom, fresh, and alert. And one should also exert effort so that one can overcome laziness. Otherwise, the mind will be very cold, not being alert, slow. By exerting effort, by exerting ardent effort, one can overwhelm laziness. At times, effort can become lax, and the noting mind may slip away from the object. So if there is lack of effort, if the noting mind slips away from the object, then one will be lacking sati mindfulness. Lacking sati mindfulness, the mind will not be calm and collected. And if that happens, the noting mind will not stick onto the object. The mind is elsewhere. When the mind is elsewhere, apart from the object, then when one encounters desirable objects, the mind associating with raga, lust, can arise. So the mind associating with lust will arise continuously. If one encounters undesirable objects, there can be anger, hatred, aversion. So the mind associating with hatred will arise. By noting on the object with aim and effort, one understands the object that is noted, that it has been noted at the present moment. One will understand the object by noting with aim and effort. And even if the mind slips away, even if the mind wanders off, one will know this wandering right away. And the person will also know whether the mind is calm or collected. Whether the mind wanders, one will know it in the way it is. Even if the wandering takes place, it will not be long. So by noting continuously with aim and effort, there will be less wandering. And even if the wandering arises, one will know it right away. So one should control his or her mind by noting the presently arising object with aim and effort. Saraji gives an example. If someone has a child, a son or a daughter, and if the parent cannot take care of the son or daughter properly, then the child will hang around with gangster, and the child will turn to be a gangster. So it means that when the child turns to be a gangster, it means that the parent is not taking care of the child properly, so that the child goes out and hang around with a gangster and becoming a gangster. So in the same way, so the parent should take care of the child properly so that the child will stay home and he or she will not go out and hang around with spoiled gangsters. So in the same way, yogis should take care of their mind. Yogis should have control of their mind by noting the presently arising object with aim and effort, so that the mind will not wander, the mind will not go stray. When the yogi has not gained skillfulness in the practice, then the mind can go off, the mind can wander. So yogi should be noting the object with aim and effort. By being able to note the object with aim and effort, there will be less wandering, and even if the mind wanders, yogi will notice it right away. And when the mind goes to desirable objects, when the mind associates with lust, raga, yogi will know it right away, and yogi will be able to note it so that this lust will be removed. And when the mind associates with dosa, yogi notes it and will be able to remove this dosa right away. So it is what is called citta nupassana, contemplation of the mind. So it is explained in the text, jasamin jasamin kane, and so on, that whenever the mind arises, yogi should note this in the way it is. So it is called citta nupassana, contemplation of the mind, how it is explained in the text. So not able to note with aim and effort, the mind will not be calm and collected. The mind will associate with pollutants and defilements, and the mind will also be polluted. So, yogi who is noting respectfully, meticulously, will know right away when the mind slips off, when the mind wanders, or when the polluted, defiled mind arises. So when the polluted mind arises, yogi note it right away, and it is citta nupassana. And by noting this polluted mind, one can remove this defilement, and the mind will become pure and clean again, and yogi will be able to know it and note it. It's a way of citta nupassana. So whether the mind is polluted or pure, when the yogi knows it, notice it, then the yogi should note as a way of citta nupassana. So just like in the saying, Bhutan Bhutato Pasati, one should be observing things as they really are. When pure clean mind arises, when the yogi notice pure clean mind, note it as pure and clean. So it is practicing citta nupassana. So by noting respectfully, meticulously on the primary object, yogi will come to know about the primary object. And even if the mind wanders, yogi will know this wandering right away and will be able to note as wandering, wandering, as soon as it wanders off. So noting wandering, wandering is also citta nupassana. And at times, there may be other sensations in the body, such as itch and so on. So by noting this itch, it will be vedana nupassana, contemplation of feeling or sensation. And when other activity arises in the body, then one can leave the primary object and go on to note the secondary object. It is called Dhamma Nupassana. So, but what the yogi should be noting is the object that is most prominent, that is most obvious. So the kaya, the materiality, is most obvious object to be noted. Yathāpākata vipassanā biniveso. One should be putting attention on noting, observing the object that is most prominent, most obvious. By noting rising and falling of the abdomen, yogi comes to know about rising and falling. And when the wandering arises, yogi will be able to note it. And also when other sensations such as aches or pain or itch arises, yogi go on to know them and know these in the way they really are. So by noting on the primary object, one will know about the primary object, as well as when the secondary object arises, one should go on to note them in the way they really are. And when the yogi is noting wandering mind, when the yogi notes wandering, wandering, did the wandering stop? Did the wandering go on? Yogi should report that in interview. And when noting itch, noting it as itching, itching, or itchy, itchy, did the itchiness increase, decrease, move, fade, stagnate, or dissolve totally? So yogi should report what happened to this itchiness when he, she notes it. So it's a way of sakkaccha anuggahita, protecting the vipassana sapling by discussing with a meditation teacher about his or her experience. And the meditation teacher will discuss what needs to be done. If there is something lacking, then the teacher will instruct the yogi to put more to rectify it, to correct it. And if the yogi has excessive of something, then the teacher will ask the yogi to make it less. So in this way, the teacher will give necessary guidance and correct the yogi. And if there is no correction to be made, then the teacher will ask the yogi to continue practice. So one needs to build a fence around the sapling, and one should keep the sapling green by watering at appropriate times. And also, this green sapling should also grow to be a big tree. In order to keep the sapling green, one should water. In order to keep the sapling grow and proliferate, the gardener also needs to do certain things that will bring up the sapling to grow. So at times, the gardener needs to give fertilizer to the plant. And if the roots are showing, one should put soil onto the roots. And if the ground is hard, if the roots cannot go freely, the gardener should dig the ground, loosen the soil so that the roots can go freely. So it's a way, this is compared to Sakkaccha Nogahita discussion between the meditation teacher and the yogis. So the meditation teacher do not mean to torture the yogi, or the meditation teachers do not mean to be strict on the yogis, but discussing during the interview is a way to bring up progress of the yogi, just like the gardener needs to give fertilizer, dig and loosen the soil so that the root will grow freely and the tree will grow. In order to allow the meditation teachers to give necessary guidance, yogi should also help the meditation teacher respond to the meditation teacher. Yogi should explain these three things, what object arises, how he, she knows, and what he, she comes to know. Yogi should be reporting what he, she experiences, not what he, she thinks or imagine. If the yogi is reporting from his or her imagination and thoughts, it will not be correct. His or her report will not be clear. There can be doubts. If the yogi is reporting from his or her imaginations and thoughts, he, she is not reporting with knowledge. There can be his or her report will not be clear, and there can be doubt, there can also be confusion. So yogi should be reporting what he, she experiences correctly. His or her report will be clear, and such kind of report is acceptable by the teacher. So Saroji said, yogis should help the meditation teacher by reporting what he, she experiences in a clear way so that the teacher can also help the yogi by giving necessary guidance.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.